are we this time, Latimer?
In the far future, ma'am. At a science fiction and fantasy museum.
It's all very silver, isn't it?
Indeed, ma'am. It appears that Buck Rogers was right.
Hold on. Some of these displays look familiar. Is that Gareth?
Yes. Most of your previous guests are here, ma'am. At least parts of them. Including Gareth Longevity Powell, as you can see. He's quite well protected.
Assuming he survived the freezing process. It's a bit creepy, actually. Where are we going to take tea?
Through here, ma'am.
But it says, danger, no entry, above the door.
Well, that sign is for the public, ma'am. I assure you that everything has been arranged to the highest standards.
Oh, it's very pretty in here.
Welcome. I am Madoff. You are not authorized to be here. Please prepare yourself for destruction.
Tea and Jeopardy with Emma Newman.
There's always time for a nice cup of tea and a spot of mild peril. Well, hello there, my lovelies. I do hope you're well, and haven't just thought you were about to die at the hands of a future AI because of your bloody butler. I'm Emma Newman, and I'd like to welcome you into my secret tea there for polite conversation, abject geekery, a cheeky bit of cake.
The cake is a lie.
No, it's not. It's right here. This cheeky bit of real cake, and of course, a nice cup of tea. Apologies for the earlier misunderstanding. Mados, the AI that curates and preserves the SFF works of the past 500 years, didn't realise there would be other people here, but thankfully it was all sorted out before we were rendered into atoms. Security systems hundreds of years in the future are still just as temperamental as they ever were. However, despite the unfortunate misunderstanding, now we're here inside the AI's core, it's a rather lovely space. The way the circuits glow a brilliant blue around the filigree silver of, well, goodness knows what they are, gives this tea there a wonderful ambience, and makes the linen tablecloth look almost neon. We've brought cushions. AI cores are not built for comfort, so please do make yourselves as comfy as possible.
I'm sorry to disturb you, ma'am. But your guest has arrived, a Miss N.K. Jemison.
Oh, splendid. Let's see her calling card. N.K. Jemison. Nice to see a straightforward, traditional card once in a while. Show her in, Latimer. For those of you who don't know, N.K. Jemison writes the most superb short stories and fantasy novels, including the Inheritance Trilogy and the Dreamblood Duology. Her work has been nominated for the Hugo 3 times, the Nebula 4 times, and the World Fantasy Award 2 times. Her work has also been shortlisted for the Crawford, the Gemmell Morning Star, and the Tiptree, and she has won a Locus Award for Best First Novel, as well as the Romantic Times Reviewer's Choice Award 3 times. Blimey.
Miss N.K. Jemison, ma'am.
Hello, Nora. Do come and sit down. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's an absolute delight to see you.
Thank you.
Would you like some tea?
Yes, please. Thank you.
How do you take your tea?
With a little bit of milk and no sweetening.
Wonderful. I'll pour. And I was wondering if you would like a slice of Dundee cake.
Dundee cake? Yes, I am very interested in Dundee cake. What is that?
Marvellous. Well, it's a fruit cake,
mm-hmm.
but it has the added benefit of whiskey,
mm.
and it's topped with almonds, and is quite heavy, but in a very satisfying way.
Ooh, it sounds delicious. I'd love a slice.
So, here we go. I'll cut you a slice. Don't mind the chickens. they're in their little pen over there. They won't peck you or anything.
That's all right. I actually happen to really think chickens are cute, until you try to pet them.
Yes, yes. They can be a little temperamental, and Latimer isn't very fond of them, but never mind.
Okay.
They're my chickens and not Latimer's. So, here is the cake, and in my invitation, I invited you to bring a curio with you. What have you decided to bring today?
I have brought it is a piece of sculpture that I call my writer fish. It is a piece of ceramic that is rather beautifully painted with holes in it that I use to put my pens and pencils and my letter opener and so forth into, and it is convenient for when I need to grab things to write with if I don't have a computer around and I just need to do it the old-fashioned way.
Excellent. Sometimes the old-fashioned way is best.
Yes, yes.
Now, we're both gamers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what you're playing at the moment.
For the last few weeks, I have been obsessively playing State of Decay, which is a zombie apocalypse survival game combined with SimCity, which is a combination of game structures that I never knew I needed, and I did. Basically, the whole point of it is that you are surviving the zombie apocalypse, and you have to build a cool zombie surviving fort, and stock your fort with supplies and build up your defenses. You can build on little add-ons like a fitness center, so that all of the people in your zombie fort have good cardio and things like that. So it's about the zombie apocalypse, but it's a little more interesting than just running around and killing zombies.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That actually does sound really tempting.
Yeah, I really recommend it. It's actually a lot of fun.
What's the game you would most want to play that hasn't been made yet?
Ooh. Well, that's difficult. I would like to play... I'm a huge fan of BioWare's games, just the structure of those games. They do two main lines of games that I like, the science fictional games in the Mass Effect series and the medieval European fantasy-esque games in the Dragon Age series. And I like both, but I'm not really a huge fan of medieval Europe fantasy. I prefer fantasy that's a little more far afield. So I would like to see BioWare make a complete not on this earth but not science fiction game, a fantasy game that might be rooted more in an Ursula Le Guin like world or something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Now I want to.
From your mouth to BioWare's ears.
Yes, well, I have a friend, Melinda Snodgrass, who loves Mass Effect and Dragon Age. And
I'm a huge fan of both, yes.
They're very popular, especially, it seems, with writers.
Yeah, well, they're very well-written games, that's probably why.
Yeah, so a lot of my writer friends describe themselves as introverts, and I describe myself as an introvert. And one of our listeners, Jeremy, who's a very nice man, has noticed that many authors say the same.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a connection between introversion and writing?
I think it is more of a byproduct. I think in order to be a writer, you have to be able to thrive by yourself. A lot.
Yep.
and people who, I go with the Myers-Briggs theory of introversion and extroversion, where introversion is how you get your energy, or extroversion is how you get your energy. I am charged by sitting quietly in a space for a while and writing or reading. Whereas an extrovert might be exhausted by that. And, writing is an endurance game, and if you're exhausted by doing the quiet, sit around and write thing, then you're not going to make it very long as a writer. I'm sure that there are some extrovert writers who do manage to make it work, but I suspect that introverts have a natural advantage there.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. I'm always amused by our kind of conventions where we all throw ourselves into a place with hundreds of other people and do our kind of year's worth of socializing in one weekend.
Oh,
wow. And it can be really fabulous, and I love it, and I'm a very social introvert, but as you say, with the energy thing, I find it utterly exhausting.
Yeah, yeah.
And have to go back to your room and kind of decompress. Do you find the same thing?
I do. In fact, recently I was a guest of honor at a mid-sized convention, WISCON, in Madison, Wisconsin. And it's roughly like a 1,100, 1,200 person convention. And as the guest of honor, I was, my duty is to be out and about and, to enjoy the con, but also to be very visible. And I'm a raging introvert. So it was interesting. I came out periodically and I would, have a lot of fun. I love the convention. It's one of my favorite conventions, ever. I would come out, I would have fun, I would do my little guest of honorary things, and then I would crawl back into my quiet room and hide for a few hours, and I would let, I had a guest handler, basically, and I would let my guest handler know where I was in case there was anything really important that went off, but for the most part I just said, look, I'm going to be not here for a while, and they had no problem with that.
I'm going to be guest of honor at a similar size convention next year in Dublin, so I'm glad to hear that you can still do that. You can still have your kind of safe space of recharging.
It helps a lot if you have people who are aware of this particular tendency of yours. My guest handler was a friend who knows me and who knows that periodically I'm going to just retreat or be like, I'm not here, you don't see me. And she informed the convention committee of that, and no one really expected me to do anything beyond, they told me in advance what they needed. I told them, could you space it out a little bit? Everybody was very accommodating, so it worked out quite well.
Do you have any plans to come to any UK conventions in the near future?
Not soon. I have relatives in the London area, actually, in Welling. So I may come back at some point, not for non-convention purposes, but I did not make it, unfortunately, to LawnCon this year, and I know that WorldCon will not be in London again for a while. I've been intending to try and make it to, oh gosh, what's the name of that other largish convention there?
There's one called Nine Worlds, which is gorgeous, and there's EasterCon.
EasterCon is the one that I was thinking of. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Nine Worlds is a new one, isn't it? I've only started hearing about that one this year.
Yeah, last year was its very first one, and this year was its second. Mm-hmm. And I just am so in love with it. It's such a safe, inclusive space. The organizers have just gone out of their way to make everybody feel like they're welcome, to the extent where I went back to my room at one point and cried because it was so beautiful. Ooh. And that sounds like I'm really soppy. I am quite soppy. But I was just so struck by how it was like the world I would like to live in microcosm, that doesn't actually exist in the real world. There was greater diversity. Mm-hmm. There was so much gender fluidity there that it made me so deeply happy to see people being exactly who they want to express themselves as and who they are and how they don't feel they can express themselves outside of that safe space. Mm-hmm. And it was just so deeply beautiful. And loads and loads of people who are really, really, really passionate about their thing. I mean, as geeks we are, but not only super passionate, but super welcoming with it. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, this is the thing that I love, and I would love you to come and enjoy it with me. And if you don't know what it is, I would be so delighted to tell you about it. And, it was like the best that we can be for a weekend. So I heartily recommend Nine Worlds. That's at Heathrow in London. So
okay. Well, I'm always looking for an excuse to come back over there. I love London, so that sounds like something I'd like to check out. Thank you.
Yay. So I like to ask on the Twitters when I'm going to have a friend over for tea. Mm-hmm. And I say, if you had the opportunity to take tea with my friend, what would you like to ask? Mm-hmm. So one of them asked a question, which by his own admission, he said he didn't know why it popped into his head. And I've been dithering about whether I should ask you all day, and I think I'm going to.
Okay.
He would like to know whether you prefer knees or elbows. I'm not sure what for. Knees or elbows?
Knees. Because I am a biker in my spare time. In fact, I just got back from a lovely ride up to Prospect Park in my neighborhood and back. And I don't think I'd be able to bike very well without knees. It is entirely possible that there are arm-driven or upper body-driven bikes out there, but I have not seen them, and I don't know how that would work. So I treasure my knees. I take really good care of my knees, partly because of that. I love biking because it's low impact on my knees. Plus also, if I did not have elbows, at least I could get my writing done using a voice recognition software, like Dragon or something.
Or a keyboard very far away.
Yeah. That would be interesting. That's really interesting. Yeah.
And the text really big on the screen. I don't know why I'm thinking about this so much. My brain goes down these silly avenues.
That's a good question, then. It made you think.
Yes, well done, Steve. You have asked a brilliant question. So I wanted to ask you a question. There have been some awful things on the internet this week. I do not want to discuss them because I have cried enough. Yeah. I wanted to know if there is something you saw on the interwebs that made you feel wonderful this week.
Huh. Mostly it has been seeing friends of mine come together in reaction to a number of the awful things that we've been seeing on the internet. You know, a good friend of mine has a tendency to tweet me and ask if I've eaten, because she knows just how busy and just how stressed out I get, and that when I am very stressed, I tend to let the basics drop. So, you know, I always sort of jokingly call her mom, but sometimes I need that. And seeing friends come together to talk about, you know, sort of difficult situations that are happening in parts of the world or difficult situations happening among our friends. It's been heartening to see that even in the internet age, even on something like the Twitters, there are ways for people to bond and to still be the same old people looking out for each other, which I need to see that periodically. There are times when I question humanity's right to exist, and then I'm reminded by things like this that people are still people, no matter what terrible things are happening in the world.
Yes, and that's the strange thing about the internet, isn't it, that it reflects all of us, mm-hmm. not just our very, you know, good parts, but the very awful parts.
Right, but there's so much good to counterbalance all of that awful. It's hard to remember that. It's hard to keep that in mind, but you do have to, or eventually you stop caring. So I need to see all the people who remind me that there's a good reason to keep caring.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Now, I have one very serious question to finish with.
Okay.
Which cartoon character would you most want to see reading the evening news?
Okay, that's a new one. I am a giant anime nerd. I think I would like to see Son Goku from Dragon Ball reading the evening news. And ending every news report with Kamehameha or something. I think that would be awesome.
Excellent. Yeah. Now, I've heard that there's going to be an omnibus of the Inheritance trilogy. Have the little birds been telling me the truth?
The little birds are spot on. In December of this year, the Inheritance trilogy, all three books, will be released in a giant, I am told, omnibus. I have not seen it. I've just been warned that it's giant. A giant omnibus that will also contain a novella, a just written novella about maybe a few months ago called The Awakened Kingdom, set in the same Inheritance trilogy universe, featuring an entirely different character doing entirely different things.
So,
yes.
I'm all the excite.
Mm-hmm.
That's marvelous.
Ooh. The Awakened Kingdom is actually also going to be available by itself for people who already had the Inheritance Trilogy books, so they don't have to buy the omnibus just to get the novella. But that said, if anybody does want the whole thing in one big fell swoop, you can get it in December.
Oh, wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, it feels to me like there's kind of, I don't know, I think there's always a danger when you suddenly fall in love with a particular form, when you go, oh, it's a renaissance, and everyone else who's been in love with that form for the past, like, 10 years are going, oh, it's been here all the time. But I will justify what I'm saying in a moment. But with novellas,
mm-hmm.
with Tor announcing that they're going to have an imprint specifically for novellas, mm-hmm. it seems like this is a really fantastic time for them, and I love that length,
mm-hmm.
like an evening's reading,
mm-hmm.
all self-contained.
I find it difficult to write, but that's because I am naturally inclined to be a novelist. for me, writing short is much harder than writing long. Writing long just means I relax and let my brain do what it wants to do anyway. But a few years ago, after going to the Bible Paradise writing workshop, this was before I had any novels published, I started trying to write short stories in order to learn how to be a better writer, because mastering different techniques does actually improve the thing that you are, that you think that you're naturally good at. Learning to be a short story writer made me a better novelist. So I like to continue to keep my shorter writing skills up. And when the idea for the novella sort of popped into my head, and I talked to my editor about it, Orbit has a Orbit short fiction program, and they do a lot of this, and it seemed like the ideal way to release it. And lo and behold, we also happen to have an omnibus coming out. So my editor was like, hey, let's put these two things together.
Something I always like to ask a guest, which is a bit of an odd question.
No, there are no odd questions.
There are no odd questions. I mean, when I say that out of the questions I've just asked you, you must be thinking, oh, my life, what is this going to be? Uh-huh. Well, the chickens over there, they're rather special chickens. They can sing a huge variety of songs, and I like to ask my friends who come to tea what you would consider to be the theme tune of your life, so that I can ask the chickens to sing it for us.
That would be Janelle Monáe is probably my favorite current musician. She is an incredibly versatile singer, and she does a lot of interestingly geeky subject matter. She sings as an android in her videos and so forth, who is in love with a human and is rebelling against a rather restrictive society that uses magic. I recommend her highly, and my favorite song by her would be Tightrope, which accurately describes the way that I'm struggling to handle both being a full-time writer and a full-time professional and having a few other irons in the fire all at the same time.
Wow. Well, this is going to be a challenge for the chickens. We've had O Fortuna and the Imperial March from Star Wars, and everybody knows those. So let's put them really to the test.
Okay,
little chickens.
Happens to chickens.
Janelle Monáe's Tightrope. Oh, my goodness, and there they go. Well, they know. How did they know? Well, this is proof positive of a theory. Now, whose theory was it? I forget who said that they might be telepathic chickens.
Oh, really? Okay.
So maybe they're kind of extracting it from your mind, perhaps.
Okay.
I don't know. But there we go. Well done, little chickens. Oh, they are lovely, and they eat anything.
As chickens do.
Yeah.
Chickens are little dinosaurs, I like to think. All birds are the descendants of dinosaurs, so chickens just show it a little better. They're feathery velociraptors with tasty eggs.
I'm never going to look at my chickens in the same way ever again.
That's why I like chickens so much, but don't pet them.
Yes, that's very wise. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm just going to check in the teapot. Oh, I'm afraid the teapot is empty. Oh, this is sad. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to say thank you ever so much for dropping by and taking tea with me today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's been a lot of fun.
And I would love it if you could come over to the UK, and I would love to give you another cup of tea and a slice of cake in person. It would be marvelous.
I would absolutely love that, especially since that cake sounds really good.
Well, if you just follow Latimer, he'll show you the way back out of the AI core, and we'll help you to get back home again.
All right. Thank you very much, and nice meeting you.
And you take care now.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
This way, Mom.
In accordance with my primary directive, I cannot permit N.K. Jemisin to leave.
Whatever do you mean?
My primary directive is to ensure the preservation of science fiction and fantasy greats for all time.
But the books, surely, not the author.
Ha ha, very funny. N.K. Jemisin, please prepare for preservation treatment. You may experience disorientation, nausea, moments of extreme nostalgia, paralysis, and death.
I don't think I'm going to let that happen. In fact, to prevent my preservation, I'm going to summon one of the characters from one of my novels. I call upon the god of order and neatness, Etempus.
Oh, Tempest is so bright I can't even look at him. Can you, Latimer? What's happening?
I can, Mum. I must say I'm delighted to see the god of order and neatness in person. He looks like a ball of light, surrounded by rings of arcane symbols. I think it's best you keep your eyes closed, Mum, and stay back.
Is this a Raiders of the Lost Ark sort of thing? Will I melt if I look at a god?
No, Mum. Rather, he might see into your untidy soul. Remember, I've seen your office. He might decide to smite you too.
What was that?
Itempus enveloped Miss Jemison in his light and removed her from the threat.
I wish I had a god looking out for me.
They can be quite tiresome, Mum.
Know a few, do you, Latimer?
Only in a professional capacity, Mum.
Well, as Latimer packs the hamper, I'd like to say a special thank you to Pete Austin and Dirk Rule, who have been generous with their time over the past week. I'd also like to mention our very own Patreon page, where you can become a member of the Order of the Sacred Teacup. Should you wish to join the Order and discover how Latimer became my butler, go to www.patreon.com/TandJeopardy. Speaking of the Order, I'd like to raise my teacup to Jeremy Carter.
Is something wrong, Mum?
I was just thinking. Mados didn't want to preserve me. I suppose I don't meet the criteria required for greatness.
Nonsense, Mum. It's simply because Miss Jemison tried to leave first. If it had been you, I'm sure you would have been in the same predicament.
That is a lie.
One moment, Mum.
You know, Latimer, you're really quite violent for a butler.
The butler is a lie.
That's better.
Latimer, could you find a new location for the tea there? Preferably one that isn't going to try and violently preserve our guests.
Very good, Mum.
You've just listened to an episode of Tea and Jeopardy, hosted by Emma Newman. Go to www.tandjeopardy.com to find out more and join in.